We run the desert podcast.
I like that.
We run the desert podcast. We run the desert.
Guys, it's We Run the Desert.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of We Run the Desert podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Eve. And we are joined today by special Canadian guest, Nathan Karsgaard.
Hi,
Thanks
Nathan.
For joining Hello. Us.
He's waiting for us to mess up because we messed up already our intro multiple times.
That was perfect.
Offline already had a Canadian geography lesson because we don't, I mean, we know where Canada is, but that was kind of it.
Yeah. So Nathan, share with everyone
the
where
St.
in
Lawrence
Canada.
River.
Okay, St. Lawrence
is
River.
It's nowhere near where I'm from.
Got it.
I'm from perfect, Kelowna, thanks. British Columbia. It's okay. Straight north of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast.
The West Coast of Canada.
Uh-huh. Do you guys say Best Coast for West Coast too?
We don't differentiate so much, I guess.
You don't have the big coastal divide.
I mean, probably if you talk to an East Coaster, they would say there is, but I don't know. And I'm kind of inland. I'm not really on the coast anymore, so yeah.
And it's Karsgaard, not Skarsgård.
That's
I
correct.
As well. I was like, oh, any relation? And you're like, what are you talking about?
Blank stares from Eve and Nathan. Yeah, it was good.
And I think for anyone listening who maybe can relate, we had geography here in the U.S., at least where Eve and I went to school. Not that we went to school together, but separately where Eve and I went to school, we had geography in middle school. And that was it. Like,
I mean, I had it in college, as I shared. I had to color maps as a college student.
Where'd you go to college?
Yeah, I went to Ball State. Big shout out to Ball U, a.k.a. Testicle Tech, and, you know, living up to its name there.
Oh, got it.
Solid
so
education
for
my
just,
undergrad.
Like, color sheets for your college education, you can go.
Yeah, this is why I'm so good with the geography when all my athletes are like, this race, wherever. And I'm like, what state is that again?
What did you use to color the maps? Was it highlighters or pencil crayons? Actual crayons?
Actual
crayons. I mean, I didn't color them myself, so I didn't use anything.
Right. You outsourced it.
I did outsource it. Hmm. So
in Canada, do you
learn
about...
I mean, how much more
about...
American can you get than that?
Right,
like, I outsourced my geography.
Maybe that's what
they
were trying to teach you.
I mean, outsource is one way to say it. Cheating's another.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
It's like, I delegated. Yeah. I was
delegated.
Becoming a manager.
It's a business skill.
That's right. And here we are today. Oh, and I will say that RMC just celebrated its 4-year anniversary. Like a couple days
awesome.
Ago.
So wow, congratulations.
Outsource your maps and you too can be a small business owner.
That's got to be another sticker right there. outsource your homework
maps.
And you can be a small business owner. It's too great. But congrats on 4 years.
Thank you.
We always get to this because, like, I think we're always recording an episode right around an anniversary.
Yeah,
but I think I knew you right after you kind of started RMC.
I think right before, right around that
around
time, like that group run that we always talk about, mm-hmm. where you, me, and Chris were on it, and I fell, and it was with Megaton.
And
Runner's
I just kept
High.
Talking, and
that was January of
Nathan's
that year.
Nathan's just like listening to this story, like what? Yeah.
So like
these
RMC
are the things
was
that bring
already
together.
Right.
Yeah, it is RMC was already a thought at that point, but mm-hmm. it wasn't official about another month after that.
I remember that run.
Yeah.
We, Eve and I like to talk on our runs,
a
little
like
too
to
much
talk a
sometimes.
Lot.
Oh yeah.
And we were talking and I guess she tripped and fell and I didn't see it cause I was running just slightly kind of ahead, like mm-hmm. just because it was downhill and I just kept talking mm-hmm. and then I looked back and she's not there.
he came back and like, I see his head over this little rock pile and he's like, you okay? And I'm like, it's cool. I'm bleeding. It's fine. Whatever.
And I was like, so anyway, what I was saying was,
it was fine. It was just a flesh wound.
How much did you miss?
Right. Like, like, where did you leave? Where did we leave?
Where did you leave?
Like, she's like, it kind of hurts. And I'm like, yeah. So anyway,
I do remember from that fall that my fingertips were bleeding a lot and fingertips are really like drippy.
What kind of fall was this?
It wasn't that bad. I just got my hand out on a rock, and it wasn't like I wasn't even cut up that bad, but I was bleeding a lot because it was fingertips. So I do remember when we finished, you were like, "Oh, you are kind of bleeding." I don't even think you knew I was bleeding, and you did keep telling your story. It was a good story.
It was such a great story. It probably was not.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was really good. Yeah, I don't remember.
They usually are.
Yeah.
You know, running stories are usually great.
It's usually about poop or something.
It was the same route that we ran when you came on our run. So, the group run a couple months ago.
Fun.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, turning back to Nathan. So,
yeah.
So you have been here in Phoenix since October, since Javelina.
Yeah, we moved the first week of September.
Oh, okay.
Or the second week of September is when we moved here. And then... yeah, kind of got adjusted, and I had a friend who was running Javelina, and she said, "Oh, you should come and check it out. It's quite the experience." And so I signed up to volunteer to check it out, and had a really fun time, and found out that Eve was going to be there, and that's where we met in real life, because we've been Instagram friends for a long time,
like at least 4 years, like before COVID and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
well, and then we were laughing because I was like, you were the one in the Liquid Death costume. And,
yeah, you guys met at Javelina without knowing.
At the finish line. Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And so...
And he was on the episode, actually, that we recorded at Javelina. I made him talk on that, right?
Oh, yeah, briefly, yeah.
Yeah, I stuck a mic in your face and said, talk.
Hi, nice to meet you. Record.
Yeah.
Just don't ignore it. Here's the mic. Yeah. Talking to it, and we'll pick up later. Yeah. That's about how we do episodes.
It's nice to have that like international flavor.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Singing "Oh Canada."
These exotic Canadians.
She's like British Phoenix. Columbia. Is that in Washington? Is that near DC?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever. I knew what coast it was on, man.
That's true. I know. So, I was like East Coast, West Coast, Middle, North, South, East, West. Do you learn U.S. Geography in Canada?
No, he didn't know Maine.
No, not really.
Didn't know Maine.
I mean,
no one knows Maine.
We know a little bit. I knew all of the West Coast because we've, I don't know.
All of our one Maine listeners.
I know. Yeah.
They're like, "I'm not listening to your podcast anymore. You just
Maine."
I hope
someone from Maine gives us a shout out. It's like, "I totally listened to this and you offended me deeply. Maine, I love you. I ran in your state some years ago. You're beautiful and foggy." Which is how I imagine Canada to be. So full circle back to Canada.
It's a large country. They have all the weather. All of it.
I've been up there for a race, but not in your side.
Yeah,
I've been to Montreal. And you went to Toronto?
Yeah, I've been to Toronto a couple times.
Yeah,
but
Steve
ran a race up there.
You'd really.
What's your? Well, I guess we got to get into this.
Yeah,
but
we
like,
should
talk about it.
You a just little bit.
Like about, we'll just talk about the U.S. a whole lot.
Yeah, sure.
It's very American of us. We have a Canadian on. Let's talk about the U.S. So, what's your favorite U.S. state?
How much do you know about America?
How much do you know about America?
Tell
what's your favorite
how
thing
we're
about
awesome.
America? Yeah. Why do you love America so much? You moved here, so. Anyway, so let's start with your run story.
Oh.
When did you get started running?
I wasn't a runner for most of my life. I actually hated running growing up. I was the kid. I actually hated it. Growing up, like in school, we did a mile around the track, four loops around the track. And I remember... there was a berm, a grass berm. And so the class would go around and then there were a few of us that didn't enjoy running. We would go and hide on the other side of the berm and wait for the class to come around.
That's amazing.
For the last
lap,
and then jump back in and then pretend that we ran the whole thing. And it wasn't until I met my wife and she was a runner and she kind of, I don't know, kind of inspired me to try it. Actually, no, there's one other time when I did try to do one of those like 24-hour runs. And and it was like, oh, yeah, I can totally do it. I was a mountain biker, so I was kind of
considered myself somewhat fit. You can stop there. I was a mountain biker, and we can fill in the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kidding, mountain bikers. We mostly like you.
Who else do you want to offend on this podcast?
I mean, I'm okay with offending.
Do you have
bikers.
A lot of mountain bikers in the
but
audience?
I'm not offending the Maine.
I think we maybe have some that do both.
I think both.
Yeah.
I still do both, so I'm not hopefully not offending anyone. So I grew up as a mountain biker, and so I jumped into this 24-hour relay with some friends thinking like, oh, yeah, I can totally run 4 kilometers. Like, no problem. Oh, and I can run it 4 times in 24 hours. Okay, no problem. But I remember doing my first one and thinking it was fine. Doing my second one, thinking it was fine. I think after my third, and there were hours in between. And I remember going to home to sleep and getting out of bed after sleeping for a couple hours to go back. And I actually stumbled and fell down. I couldn't actually walk. Like my legs had seized up.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. And so I didn't do my fourth lap.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty funny. Yeah, so anyway, I met my wife and she was a runner and I wanted to impress her. So I started running. Naturally. And I remember, the first run I ever did. I lived on this campus that had a long driveway. Mm-hmm. Long, whatever, it was probably a quarter mile. And
it's pretty long for a driveway.
And I ran the whole driveway. And at the end, there was a bit of a hill, and I started running up the hill, and I felt like I was going to die. And that was it.
Yeah,
and so
relatable.
I turned around and went home. And so I think I ran half a mile that day. And then over time, she kind of convinced me, like, oh, you should try it. You like might find it fun. And there was this this run, the Vancouver Sun Run. It's this great big, I don't know, they have tens of thousands of runners who do it. It's a 10-kilometer loop around downtown Vancouver.
A normal mm-hmm. human distance.
Yeah.
10K.
And I thought, okay, I'll have to train. I'll have to train to do this. And it's flat. The only hill is over the bridge. Mm-hmm. And so I trained for months trying to do this, and like I got the Nike Plus app and I would listen to the people, and they would like in your ear encourage you, like, oh, you've reached 5 kilometers, that's 3 miles for you Americans. So I grew up into being able to run 12 kilometers. And I thought I was ready. I was going to do this. And so I ran the Vancouver Sun Run. And I only got passed by a kid's junior soccer team. And they can run really fast. But I did finish it. And I felt really proud. And that was like the biggest achievement in running that I could imagine. And then we actually moved from Vancouver to Kelowna in the interior of British Columbia. And Carrie's friend and her colleagues at work were going to train to do the half marathon. And mm-hmm. so she's like, Nathan, I think you should try a half marathon. I think we're all doing it. So maybe you should do
how
it too.
Starts.
And, so I hummed and hawed and she convinced me she has a way. And, she convinced me to try this half marathon. And so I ran a half marathon and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I just remember it was Thanksgiving weekend, Canadian Thanksgiving, which is different than American Thanksgiving. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah, it's later in the year, right? Or earlier, because you guys get colder faster, so you're...
Maybe. I think it's because the Mayflower came to Canada for... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but that's all I know is that it was it's earlier than ours.
Like, yeah, we didn't learn that in school.
Yeah, that's not the same.
But Maine, no. Plymouth, where's Plymouth?
Plymouth Rock. Is that in Maine?
That's
or Massachusetts?
Maine. Massachusetts, yeah.
I don't know, but while you keep talking, I will Google that.
Look it up. Yeah, we'll
fact check some geography.
There's so many people listening to this going like, Eve, Jeremy are kind of just...
Whatever, man. I'm learning my geography
smart.
As an adult, so it's fine.
People
we
can
all
be
have
smart
our strengths.
In other things.
That's right.
There's
that's
multiple
right.
levels
right.
of intelligence.
Yes. We only have
it's
so
okay.
much brain space, and we have to shove it full of running.
I have to use a lot of brain space for my Canadian clients when I have to convert to kilometers on their plans. So yeah. I don't reserve geography space in there. just kidding. So, okay. So you ran your half marathon.
Yeah.
And it was
really hard. Thanksgiving, and I remember it was the first time where... And I made the mistake. Okay. I made the mistake.
Sorry,
and
Maine.
I wore the race
it,
shirt.
I was like, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I made the mistake, and I wore the race shirt.
The
race.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And,
we all. Yeah.
I had fewer nipples than when I started. And yeah, that so that was kind of painful. I had to get Band-Aids and put them on. But then we went for a Thanksgiving brunch, like mm-hmm. all you can eat brunch after, and I just remember waddling
that
myself up to the
yeah.
up to the table and filling it with all kinds of turkey and good stuff and like barely being able to walk.
See, that's very American. This is where we come together. Yeah. We run a race and then eat obscene amounts of food and waddle around. Like,
And
not just on Thanksgiving, but literally every race.
That's right.
This is it could be a 5K.
Welcome to the U.S.
Right?
I think that's the same almost anywhere.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Most places I've been, it's similar. But and then I thought I would never run again. I thought that was, I did it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm doing a marathon. No way. And then I think it was that spring or that summer where she started trail running with our group in Kelowna. And so she and her friend went to do that, and I didn't join at that point. But she kept coming home saying, like, oh, it's so fun. I think you would really like this. I think you'd really like it. Like, we're meeting all these people and going out into all these places throughout town that we never even knew existed and that kind of thing. And so she convinced me to start up. I started in the spring after the winter. And
oh, so the seasons are the same.
Canadian seasons are the same. Yep.
Wow.
That's good.
All
that's
five so of them.
Wait.
They have extra winter up there, like we have extra summer.
I was going to say, Arizona has two seasons. So
we have summer and a brief not summer.
Yeah. So we have,
we're at the end of not summer right now. So. Mm,
right.
Yeah, so so funny. So she,
Jeremy and Eve just compare America and Canada throughout the entire episode.
Sorry. I should have warned you that we were gonna do that. Right. I should have anticipated.
So good. so I started running with Pace Sports Fitness is our group back home.
And were you also mountain biking then, or were you just getting on those trails in that new area as a runner?
So I grew up in that town, and I knew some of the trails.
Okay.
And as a mountain biker, I knew some of them.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But there were many more that I didn't know that it was pretty neat to learn about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was right. I totally loved trail running, and I got into it, and I was like pumped to be out on the trails and be running and running with her and running with our friends, and we made some really great friends there, and our, you know, our distances kept getting bigger and bigger, and so I think it was that spring. The end of the spring was my first trail race. And so I did I think it was a 23 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, but
that's a weird one too. About 15 miles.
Yeah.
20 would be 12. Yeah. About 15 miles.
Okay. So that was my, roughly.
That was some really fast converting.
That was really great.
I'm
very
proud of you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great job.
and
now
name all the capitals
right now. That's the only reason I can convert that so quickly.
That's
so
good.
Anyway.
That's funny. So, and, I was not fast. Mm-hmm. I think I came in third last. I think I was having some issues.
DFL.
I was almost, yeah. but I did pass one 70-year-old right near the finish. So I felt really, really proud.
It's such an ultra story.
This is,
you like tap on their shoulder and then run past them and be like, oh, yeah, no,
oh, I think you dropped your,
you dropped something. You goo. Oh, no.
I had this bummed ankle, and I just remember crossing that finish line and being exhausted, and it was the hardest thing. That was now the hardest thing I had ever done. And it took, I don't know, a year before I would sign up for another race, because I took some time to, like, for my ankle to get better, and then took some time to, like, just feel better about it, I guess. And but then from there, it just kind of kept growing. The next winter, a group of friends decided we needed to do an ultra. So we did our first 50K after that. And from that, like, finishing your first ultra just, I don't know, it tipped me over the scale kind of.
Yeah, as it does. Yeah. So I have to backtrack, and I was hoping this would be the case when you mentioned having gone from a half marathon on the road to a 23K. Did you skip the step of running a road marathon before you did your 50K.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Love it.
I still have never done a road marathon.
Me neither. All right. High five. No road marathon. I mean, I've done the distance on the road, but I haven't raced a road marathon. I haven't paid for a bib. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do it in the U.S. and Canada. I know. Jeremy's like, I've run a couple of
I know. I was very I'll that natural progression of like 5K, then 10K. Well, my first race was a 10K though. But other than that, like it was like the natural progression of distance. And then went to trail, ultra, all that good stuff. But I mean, the majority of runners I talk to, none of the, like hardly any of them have stuck to any sort of like, you know, progression like that. Road marathon or road runners are very typical with that, with like that natural progression.
Yeah.
But like any trail runner, it's like wherever they were introduced to trails along the way, it's like boom. Then they just there's took off on point, that tipping point to that
and
other
then they
direction.
Find some race and they're like, oh, I really want to run this or there. And then they kind of smash the distance into it. Mm-hmm. The distance, I agree with you, is pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. And there aren't many in between like a 25K and a 50K. There's not
especially
very few races
where you are, where you have not as many races. Mm-hmm. Here we have a lot of
here in America.
No, specifically in Phoenix with Aravaipa, they have a lot of 30Ks, which I love because as a coach, I'm always telling people to like, if you want to do a training run, that's a really good one to do. We have a lot of 25 to 40K options, but that's not typical. Yeah.
And some smaller ones. They've started introducing a lot of like 5K, 8K, some random kind of smaller
ones
usually
that help some that
get
are,
people introduced to trails.
And sometimes
which is
a
really
half marathon
great.
One too. Yeah. So they have the series where you can actually move up from like over seven or eight races from like a 5K all the way up to a 50K end, which I
or
think
a 50 mile. I have a friend who's doing the whole thing. Right
there's
to a 50
two.
Mile.
I think they have multiple series now where you can ratchet up through the distance, which I think I did that. Back before they made it an official series, I recall doing that with Aravaipa.
Cool.
Lots of distances.
Yeah, we always had to kind of make our own routes that were those kinds of distances. Mm-hmm. But there's a bazillion trails up there, and so it was actually really fun to do some of these long. There was these long mountain bike routes through the mountains that. One of them's called the Seven Summits in Rossland. And so this group of us went and ran the Seven Summits. And it was 37 or 38 kilometers, but through the mountains. And not many people would run it. It was a mountain bike route. And when you have the shuttle, it's a point-to-point, so you have to get a shuttle out to the other end. And they predominantly do mountain bike shuttles, and the driver's like, I've never taken runners up here before. This is really weird. And, but I think now now there's a race that goes and does that whole route, and it's pretty neat. So
that's cool. What's the longest distance you've run or raced now?
I did the rim to rim to rim. So a few years
about
back.
50 miles. That's somewhere between 45 and 50 miles, depending on which route did you do?
Ours ended up being South Kaibab to north back to Bright Angel.
Okay. I think that's,
it was like 78 kilometers, something like that.
Quick, yeah. I think that route's like 46 miles. So I can't do that.
Something like that.
70 just shy like just broke my head. I can't
you're
do it.
That meme of that girl with all the like math over.
Oh my gosh.
Her, like.
That's yes. I know that meme. That is me right now. I can see the numbers over my head as I'm sitting here trying to figure out what 73K is.
But the Grand Canyon.
46 miles.
It's in Arizona.
It is in Arizona.
And I can point to Arizona on a map.
Good job. You can probably even point to like four corners on the map.
I can. You know, I really
good
am.
Good job.
If there were no lines on it, could you still do it?
Absolutely not.
maybe if it was a topographical map or something where you could see the Grand Canyon, you could probably still maybe kind of figure out where Arizona is, but that's yeah. it.
Nathan's like, wow, where did I move to? Like, just like some backcountry Brunners who are like...
I mean, the worst thing is like, I've lived, as have you, in a lot of parts of the mm-hmm. U.S., so I should know. I've lived in the Midwest, the Southeast, and the Southwest. I should mm-hmm. know a little more, like even American geography than I do, but
yeah. Well, there's so many states.
There are like a lot of states.
Isn't there? There's the 50. So many. Yeah, there's,
yeah. Do you know what state Arizona is?
I'm sure you're saying that to make us sound smarter. What yeah, number? Like, no, there's 50.
Yeah, do you
50.
Know what number Arizona is?
Like 43 or 48
Dude,
or something.
Dude, 48. It is state 48. We were the last of the contiguous U.S. states. It's kind of a big deal. We just had our anniversary. It's Valentine's Day, right?
Valentine's Day is the birthday of Arizona.
See, we're dropping all this Arizona knowledge on you. You got to take it back to Canada. Spread the
a lot of
Arizona stuff.
Know a lot about Arizona.
Yeah, you guys come down.
I think half of Alberta comes
down
here.
And I think half of Alberta hikes on National on Thursdays. Yeah. No, but you can always tell the Canadian hiking groups because they mostly have sticks. Mm. The elderly almost always have sticks. And they move.
Did you say the elderly?
Well, most of the Canadians that come down and hike here are older. So they're snowbirds, like American snowbirds. But they all move. And the Canadians will be like, run her back. And you'll see 20 people move very orderly. And they'll wait for me. It's the best. Hmm. I love the Canadian hiking groups.
I didn't know you're such a nationalist.
Uh-huh, I am. Totally discriminating against the American snowbirds. American snowbirds, up your hiking game. Move off the trails when you see someone moving at a faster pace. I mean, actually, you have the right of way, but...
You should hear her talk about mountain bikers. We could tell.
Yeah. I am. I'm really ruthless, especially American mountain bikers.
So, when you were running in Canada, like, what was probably your favorite, like, trail or area to go run in?
That was going to be my next question, too.
Oh, the Rockies. Oh, like, the Banff area, the Icefields Parkway. There's some amazing stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, if you've ever seen pictures of the Rocky mm-hmm. Mountains around like Lake Louise and
Louise looks amazing.
Lake O'Hara is another. That's a really cool one where you in the winter you can in the summer you can take a bus up there and then you can camp, but we would run in from the bottom, which is I'm not going to bother with distances, it doesn't matter.
It's some
something
amount.
Some
k's.
You run in some distance, do a loop and a high alpine loop around this gorgeous turquoise lake and then run out, and
that sounds so
amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then how do you run in Arizona beyond the like the Grand Canyon rim to rim before you moved?
Did you do a race here then since you've been here though? I can't remember.
Okay. No.
So when did you do rim to rim to rim?
That was 2018.
And then was that your first time in Arizona then?
I think so. For any reasonable
amount of time.
He's
not sure about the geography. So.
Yeah, that must be it. He's like, I know exactly where Arizona is. But then, so you hadn't run any more beyond that when you moved?
No.
So what brought you to...
Oh, my wife got a research Arizona. Position at the university. Mm-hmm. So she's doing a 2-year stint here at ASU.
And did y'all know about the run community here before you moved?
Only a little bit. Actually, it was kind of funny because she got the job and then I was like, wait a sec. I think I follow some people on Instagram from Arizona. and then I messaged Steve. He's like, hey, I'm coming down. I think that was really when I started like picking her brain about where to go,
what
to do.
Yeah, we talked about like where to run,
are
where you were in
runs,
town.
That kind of thing. And so I didn't really know much about it before coming here. But I know that there's a bazillion trails that I want to go visit and I want to, you know, go see all the corners of the state and into New Mexico. Are we allowed to talk about other states?
I mean, you're not allowed to talk about New Mexico ever.
Okay, never mind.
Like, we definitely discriminate against New Mexico. Okay,
I really want to.
I was going
to
say, wow, Eva's really that, not even just a nationalist, but she's just
but New Mexico was state 47, and my sister lives there, and we have a little bit of a state rivalry between us. Yeah, I mean, because we were like best for last for sure. Yeah. They beat us by like a couple days. But I do like being State 48, and I do like
just because it rhymes.
Poop on New Mexico. Yeah, it sounds great. Well, you can get a shirt that says State 48, and
I'll have to get one.
It's good
there
stuff.
Are some State 48 is a brand here, mm-hmm. and they have some great shirts, and they always have shirts that are like that for like nonprofits and other organizations that the money goes towards. So it's
so shout out to them.
Shout out to State 48.
But you can talk about other states.
You can absolutely.
And we don't discriminate. Desert is desert. New Mexico is a different desert. So
Eve, I do want to let you know there are other people that are outside of Arizona that listen to this podcast that are like, I guess I should.
I mean,
I have been to
thank
Utah.
Thank you for listening. please don't go anywhere. Eve loves you. Even if you're from Maine. Or New Mexico.
I knew where Maine was, sir. You didn't even know where.
It's on the East Coast.
No. We like all the states. And you can, yeah. So.
Good.
Does Canada have any rivals? Like, are you like, I know you're not.
We
don't have
asked
the
about the
coast
East Coast,
coast,
West Coast. They don't have Best Coast and Beast Coast rivalry up there, which is.
Not that I'm familiar with.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like you would be familiar because we're pretty aware of
it. The stereotype is that. If you're not in Toronto, you're not really anywhere. Like, so that Toronto is like the big city. And if you don't live in Toronto, then you're not important. I don't know if that's, it's not what we think out West, but.
Of course. I mean, that's not what we think about
and
anything out East
either. It's just a stereotype. So anyway.
That's right. Sorry, East Coasters.
Yeah. I don't know.
how would you say the community differs here in Phoenix than in Canada?
Differs. I mean, there's a lot that's very similar. What would make it different? I mean,
we joke in miles instead of KMs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always like, how many? Yes. we're just going to go for an 8-mile run. And he's like, got to do math and figure out how long.
Well, that is true.
Be.
Yeah, because they split into groups by pace. And they're like, yeah, okay, we're going to run 3 miles and we're going to run 5. And I'm trying to figure out, like, should I go in the, which group should I go in? Should I go in the fast group or should I go
the
in the medium group?
The struggle is real.
So, I just go in the medium group.
So that you don't make a mistake with your KMs.
And let's see. So you moved here in September.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't experienced yet the
shaking
your head. The
summer.
Said
that to him when I was like, oh, good time to move. It's starting to get less
starting
hot.
To cool off. I mean, granted, it's still warm September, still warm in October, but like it's coming.
Uh-huh.
We're on the tail end of our not so summer. and it's getting there. So we'll get to experience that. So that's probably where you'll probably get the biggest difference is noticing the community shifts like super early.
I bet. Yeah.
Anytime where I'm like, oh yeah, it's 3 a.m. I'm going out for a run. And they're like, how do you go for a run? I'm like, it's 110.
Because you need to be done by 8 a.m. or
you have
just
to,
turn into like this little puff of ash. And just burnt up. So I was trying to explain to people at run camp last weekend, the point in summer, like late June, when the air goes from being a refreshing breeze to feeling like a blow dryer or an oven in your face. So that is coming up for you.
Yeah.
In June, so
all the things you have to look forward
to. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
And well, not to mention, you know, people think that it's always dry here, but we especially last year it
not
was
on
it
Wednesday.
Got very humid.
You've had a wet winter too.
Had a wet winter, and probably will be a humid summer
maybe
again.
Last summer was really heavy with the monsoons. I think you caught the tail end of that. So when you moved down, we were still in our humid months because we do have, with our cyclical rain, humidity that starts in June and runs through September, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So for everyone with the dry heat jokes,
right?
You know.
But Canada, cold. How did you adjust, you know, running through like winter?
Well, it's not like that you hit the border and it's snow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is what happens.
It's not.
It drops 30 degrees. Mm-hmm. Everyone's in a parka.
No? That isn't how it works?
I mean, in my head, that's how it works. Have you seen the movies about Canada? Sorry, Canada.
I know, yes, but I meant like, I know that like it's much colder there in the winter than in Arizona.
For sure. Yeah. This has been, the winter has been glorious. I mean.
Our winter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm from, It's called the Okanagan Valley, and it's actually a desert climate.
Ooh.
So it's not this hot all the time, but it'll break 100 degrees in the summer.
Wow.
And we have a big lake that kind of moderates that, but and in the winter it probably just dips, I don't know. It stays hovering just below zero. I mean, just below freezing. Sorry.
That's okay. I can give her
just below zero.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So just below freezing, and we'll get snow, but it's not like blowing piles of snow where we are. So it's not, I don't know, overwhelmingly winter.
I bet it's
you get
like
into the mountains
Oregon,
and it's
similar.
Yeah, it's very similar to Oregon, Washington, same kind of thing.
I mean, that makes sense.
Idaho,
yeah. West
you know.
Coast, that same part of the...
Yeah, yeah. But in the mountains, we get tons and tons of snow and yeah, lots of skiing and stuff. And
okay, so changing the subject a little bit because we haven't talked about this yet. You also do some amazing mountain artwork that appears to be related to the trails you run and some of the beautiful views you see. So your Instagram is Folk and Wild and it showcases a lot of your artwork. So can you talk to us about how that came to be and just all of that? Because that's how I know you, from purchasing some of your artwork on buffs and hats. So
yeah. Yeah, so... I was thinking about this on the way here a little bit more, and I think trying to integrate how did I get into doing artwork for runners around running, and it's funny because it kind of happened at a similar time, and as I was becoming a runner, I was spending more time on the trails and more time running and but I'm also a very creative person and I like to make things. And I actually, excuse me, I started, by, you know, taking more photos and being creative that way. But I wanted to bring some more of my artwork to my trail life. I don't know if that makes sense, but, and like blending those two together in a way that, you know, I can make art for my running friends that they would like, and you know, that, that they would appreciate. And so that it kind of coincided at the same time, spending more time on the trails and wanting to take photos and wanting to, you know, remember these particular moments. So I remember one time a group of us went to this 50K race together. It was a traveling one, so we all did a road trip out there. And I remember making, it wasn't trucker hats like I make now, but I made these sweatbands out of running socks. This sounds ridiculous, but I cut them up and I made wristbands for everybody.
You did the painting on them?
No, I actually embroidered them.
Oh, wow.
And I gave them to everybody. Thought this was a really fun way to, you know, remember our
so cool.
Nice, cool 50K weekend.
Yeah.
I think that was my first like art apparel thing. Although it wasn't like a nice mountain scene. I think it was just my initials actually. How self-absorbed is that?
But here's this sweatband with my initials on it.
It was the thought, I guess. No. I just started drawing these drawings and I was giving them away to my friends, and one of the friends said like, I had them over and I showed them all of my artwork and I was like, you guys all get to take one home. It was Christmas time or something, like as a gift, you get to take one home. And my friend's like, I like this one looks like mountains. And I was like, oh yeah, it totally does. I like that. And she's like, oh, I wish mine looked like mountains. And that, you know, and so that was what kind of put me onto the mountains. Like these sketches that I was doing, were very gestural and very like sketchy, but people really resonated when they started to see what they appreciated would come out to them. Like with abstract art, you kind of it's how you you embrace it or how you bring it into you, and so that's kind of how I got into this style of artwork. And then over time, I mean, I've been doing them for years and years now, but I've simplified the style in a way or refined it so that I kind of try to replicate a route or an elevation of mountains or
a recognizable
scene. Yeah, exactly. Mm. That someone can resonate with. Mm. And so from town, I've done some for towns. I've done some for people with there was one woman who commissioned a piece that it was her favorite lake view that had these two mountains on the other side. And she's like, I just sit on my sailboat and stare at these mountains. I'm like, I can do that. Maybe let's try this, you know? And, I think how it really took off, is I would, as I was volunteering for races, because I prefer to volunteer than run them.
you're not alone in that. That's a cool thing about the sport too.
Yeah.
It's so true. Volunteer. Me and my buddy, we would sweep races, and I always thought it would be fun to take pictures. So I would bring my camera with me and I would take pictures, and then wanted to take more pictures. So then I would actually forget about sweeping and just go out and take pictures of runners and cheer them on and that kind of thing. And at that point, our races were very grassroots and not a lot of budget or anything like that. And so me and our race director, Renee, came up with this idea, like, well, what if you could sell some hats? You know, maybe you can make some money there. And then she can help promote it and that kind of thing. And so that's really what took off. Like I made these hats for a specific race, and it had like the elevation of the race with some key elements. That there's a tunnel that you had to go through and a cool tree and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'd put those on the hats, and people really liked that. It's kind of a nice memory of their event and that they've done something special and they have something to remember it. And it's, I did them all by hand and,
And you posted really like, I remember you started doing, process videos of it too.
Oh yeah.
And you could see sometimes even the photograph that you were inspired by and then see you convert that into the like geometric stylized mountains and then put the color behind it. It's really, as a runner who takes in a lot of those views, I found it really fascinating to see your interpretation of these iconic views. I really liked it. So yeah, I don't know. Your art is really, it's colorful and mountainy. So it's hitting all the right buttons for me, obviously.
I think it hits a lot for a lot of runners. That's why they enjoy the trails, is the scenery, and to be able to kind of, it's hard to, even with like a cell phone, capture really it. So being able to capture it in like art form is always really.
You really capture the specialness of those things. Like you were just saying, oh, it has these key features that I tried to represent. We all know views like that have that one little thing that, is special, and I think your art does a lot of that. So.
Thanks. Yeah.
Mm. If people want to check out your art, do you have a site that they can go to? This is yours.
Folkandwild.com. Yeah.
Folkandwild.com. Yeah. Go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. I don't have a lot for sale right now, but you can go and look at it and see some of the old hats that I've made and check those out. Yeah, for sure.
Can you make a color map of the United States? For Eve.
With all the states. Well, he's going to struggle with it because he doesn't even know like the states. He didn't know.
The color map. He can probably get it doing better than us. Like, he's just going to take map of the U.S. and just go, there's a map.
Although I tend to abstract things. So it would be very...
as long as Arizona was pretty, then it's okay.
Yeah.
And as long as New Mexico is less pretty... so that I can show it to my sister, then it's all... No, I'm just kidding. I love New Mexico. Yeah.
It's going to have four states. Arizona, New Mexico, Maine, and Massachusetts.
That's like, right.
Those are the four.
We can have California. And we can have
the four
West
major
Coast.
States that everyone talks about.
Probably not.
Probably not, but yeah, that would be great.
It is really interesting moving here because it seems like nobody or very few people are from here.
Oh, yeah.
I've met lots
Phoenix,
of people from the Midwest. Lots
many,
of
many Midwestern transplant. That kind of blew my mind when I moved here as a Midwesterner. I didn't know that.
It's just a melting pot, they call it. Just everyone's from everywhere else. But every once in a while, you meet a unicorn that's born and raised here.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for 13 years.
So, see, I've been here 11. We are almost native.
It's like when you've been here a couple of years, you're just like, I'm from here.
I feel like if you've been here more than a decade of summers, that you can pretty much like claim nativeness.
Yeah.
Because I've survived more than a decade of hot summers. So
Eve's saying you can't claim that you're a native yet.
Not yet.
Which, I mean, I guess I would have to agree with. You have to get through at least one full summer.
I would think so.
And you have to run through one full
summer. You have to train through one full summer. And
all
then,
the people that are like, I don't run. I'm not on it.
No, man. If you are a roadrunner who drops off after the February races and doesn't run again until the fall here, I love you. And there's a whole lot of world out there for you. And the summer isn't that bad. Keep running.
Well, even going to your car and getting in your hot car in the middle of the summer, it's 125 in your car.
Yeah. Although, I've been really complaining about the cold this past week. And
we complain a lot.
Even you referenced how cold and wet it was this week. The Canadian, too, said it was cold and wet this week. So
probably than normal. You moved to the desert expecting not cold and rainy.
It was very wet. It was undeniably wet.
Yeah.
Like, I was out for a run on Wednesday night, and it was pouring
and it was really rain. Windy and not
we went to the pub after, and this is so I'm eating my french fries and I realize, oh, my hands are so sticky, but my shorts are wet. It's like having a wet wipe right here. Oh,
that's the most trail dirtbag thing.
Oh yeah.
I just washed my hands right there.
That's amazing. I love that. So next time you're all sweaty, you just wipe your hands on your shorts and instant wet wipe.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's worse when it's hot out and you can't, there's no dry spot. So you're trying to wipe, but everything is salty and you're like, I can't.
Oh yeah. Can't wait for summer running. Now that we sold it like that. Yay.
Nathan's like, I don't
No, but it is. I think there's a huge level of camaraderie, just making through the winter running and those really awful cold runs.
Yeah.
The shared suffering of the summer. We all complain about it, but we get through it together. And
misery loves company.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. But it's just, kind of all part of the run community. I'm sure that's kind of, I think, part of why, at least that's why I love the run community, is just because in general, not just in Phoenix, but you're all out there kind of suffering, no matter if you're dead last or at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the winners or top runners will come back and cheer people on, whether it's road run or trail run, because you're still all out there getting the miles in, suffering together. I've made friends during races from suffering together. Yeah.
Those are the best friendships. Right. Those are solid gold friendships.
Holding onto each other, crying.
Exactly.
It's the suffer fest kind of thing. So, by the way, we have a great American food here that you have to try if you haven't tried them. They're called Peeps.
I heard you talk about these.
That's because we keep waiting for Peeps to sponsor us.
Here you go.
Sponsor us, Peeps.
This is not what I was expecting.
Have
you not tried Peeps? Okay, this is great.
Marshmallow? What are these?
This is a real cross-cultural experience for you. I am so glad to be part of this.
I figured he was probably going to go, I've had Peeps. They're horrible.
Document.
So,
his first Peeps experience.
So these are specifically my favorite flavor, which is called Party Cake Peeps. I think they first appeared, at least in Safeway, two years ago
post-COVID, but it was more than last year because I know I know you got me some two years ago.
And I was like, these are amazing. So
are they supposed to look like little birds?
They're
little
peeps.
Birds.
They're
okay,
chicks.
What I'm looking at,
that's why they say peep, because they peep peep
and
peep,
but
peep.
They do have bunny
now this
peeps.
Is this
they
is actually five peeps.
These
thing.
Are five
I don't have to
peeps.
Eat this
you
whole
don't have,
thing.
You can.
I mean, you can.
You
more than,
oh, come on.
Even I ate a whole one before you came.
How many servings are in this thing?
Yeah, no. You know, surprisingly,
20,000 calories.
No.
Dude, we've already had this on this episode multiple times. We have proved
oh, they're very
that they are
so
this, good yeah. fuel oh, yeah. for running.
I
so.
Want to let you know that a serving for Peeps is 4 Peeps, and it's only 110 calories. So there's 0 sodium, 0 trans fat, and only 24 grams of added sugar. So it's really not that bad.
Okay, mm-hmm. Peeps. Does Peeps make a maple syrup version?
No, but they should. They I would eat should, that. Yeah. It would be so good in coffee. Mm-hmm.
And,
I'm really
and
excited.
What about s'mores? Would you put
I think it's because of the way that they do the marshmallow that it's not quite the same as a marshmallow that you put into a s'more. However, we have not tried like roasting a peep like you would roast a marshmallow.
No, but I think have made a peep s'more.
You have?
Mm-hmm. And they, it's, I've done it in the microwave because I discovered when I was using peeps in my coffee that you need to, they will puff in the microwave.
They puff huge in the microwave.
Huge, like, yeah.
See, now I have sticky hands. I wish I had.
Yeah, I wish you had your wet shorts.
Quick run, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think? You've tried a peep.
Mm.
You can be honest. There are peep haters. There's a lot of sugar. It's
mostly sugar.
It's like puff sugar.
Also America. Yeah. But yeah, that's why we love it. We love America.
Marshmallow treats that look like...
I did not chickies? Realize how patriotic chickies? I was yeah. until this moment.
I've never been like, oh, I'm American. And then all of a sudden we're like, peeps, America.
Peep sponsor us.
We were talking about trying to have like a peep off run where it's like, how many peeps can you eat on
a
run?
Oh, I think we are having this we for are having the next. It? Okay.
We better
friend.
Stock up on some peeps before for they're Easter. Gone.
These are a traditional American Easter delicacy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and traditionally they are bright yellow or bright pink.
Okay.
Colored.
And they're either chicks or bunnies, but in the recent decade, they've started, doing like different flavored ones and then
seasonal. Yeah. Oh, in fact, I have some, hang on.
And they've started like becoming more popular because they have like a watermelon one, a Jolly Rancher one. Oh, they have a hot tamales one. And they have this birthday cake one. Oh, you have snowmen. Oh yeah. They're in Christmas. They come out. Halloween. They come out too.
Do you have these are these leftover or did you save them for next year?
These are leftover from my kids' Christmas stockings apparently that did not get eaten.
She's like, I have
will
to hold
be
on to them
eaten on a run.
They will. They will get eaten. I'm sure.
I will say we're of the minority when it comes to peep lovers. There are a lot of peep haters out there. many who probably listen to this podcast,
including co-host Chris. Really, anytime we send anything in our group thread for the podcast about peeps, Chris really does not respond in an appropriate manner with the love that we want him to have for peeps.
But now you're going to be like, someone's going to mention peeps, some friends of yours from Canada.
I bet they like, oh my God. I bet they have their own.
I doubt it.
No, but yeah. I would like to have go back to this whole maple syrup thing because I think that would be.
Is it in Canada, they have like maple candies, right? Where it's just
maple
like
everything.
Well, right. But I think there's like a maple candy specifically that's like very popular.
Are you talking about the maple leaf sugar ones?
The maple leaf sugar ones,
yeah.
Have you ever used that on a run?
Not those candies in particular.
Dude, we have to take away your Canadian runner card right now.
There is a maple syrup. It's not a gel. It's just a shot of maple syrup.
And you've used that on a run?
I have tried that one.
Oh, okay.
It actually goes down really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people use like honey and stuff here.
But imagine it being a little bit more liquidy and it just squirts right in. Like there's no trying to squeeze it out or anything.
Squeeze it out because it's not thick, whatever.
Right in. Yeah. But it is just mostly sugar.
You can get like single serving maple syrup packs like this and it doesn't freeze. So if you're running in the winter, I have, and my dad used to make maple syrup
candy.
So I have actually used the maple syrup sugar leaf candies when I've been in Indiana and have needed like a quick fueling thing. So because they're just sugar.
We apparently eat a lot of sugar before the run, during a run. Yeah. After the run,
Vermont,
you're like,
I'm Canadian.
Is sugar the best thing to eat while you're running, Eve?
It is actually. I mean, it depends on what type of sugar to a certain extent, but yes, I actually just at a run camp gave a whole talk about this. And the skinny on sugar is that sugar is good, sugar is what you need for fueling, carbs or sugar, and multiple types of sugar at once are the best for fueling for ultras. Nice. So.
What about high fructose corn syrup?
Well, I mean,
I mean, what is in peeps?
There's corn.
I don't know if you should.
I probably shouldn't.
There are things you're better off not knowing.
Gelatin.
What type of sugar?
It just says
do we have the fructose and sucrose breakdowns? Because that's what we're really looking at. Fructose,
I mean, it's probably not going to give us it. Oh, they are gluten-free. Are you on a gluten-free diet?
I'm not, but peeps sponsor us.
I know.
Have you written them a letter?
Eventually, I mean,
we keep tagging them.
Tag them, but I don't. Their social person needs to get with it.
they haven't really taken our random, really small podcast seriously. In our
they're
like request to be sponsored.
The non-breaded podcast. They're like that. Although, hates Maine, apparently. doesn't even know geography.
Are you using their hashtag?
Wait, they have a. I don't know that we are.
Probably just like
personality.
Oh,
see, maybe you're
see
just
that's where our folly maybe. Has been this whole time. Oh, I
I'm
will
sure,
now.
I'm sure. Yeah, we're the one time we use the hashtag, they're like, "Well, sponsor." I'm pretty sure they just don't recognize
the untapped market.
The untapped market of peep runners. Running peeps?
Yes.
Something? There is a lot of untapped market there.
I mean, introduced some runners to peeps on the run. We did it literally like around this time last year.
Yes, and Alyssa and I think Pam both had peeps.
They were like, these are could be doable. They're not like super transportable, obviously, but you know, if they came like individually wrapped, I think it would be great.
I think they're perfectly transportable, and you could compress
you
them
could just
down
have,
small.
That's what I was saying. You could just have a sleeve of those in your what's it called? Your pack pocket, and just whip one at a time.
True. I think we have probably lost like half of our listeners at this moment.
Fast forward a few minutes.
Like, no, why we'll get back to the program shortly.
We talk about peeps every episode to where like I think that eventually some people will be like, I don't, is this We Run the Desert or We Eat Peeps? Like, so we are very niche, a very niche audience. If you don't enjoy peeps, it's okay. We don't discriminate against those that don't that hate peeps. But I am so happy that we were able to introduce you to peeps. It feels like that's something we're going to have to do to every guest now.
Yeah. Well, so definitely every like out of country because
we have many of those.
sometimes we do.
This is true.
I actually have another Canadian lined up from the other side of Canada to hopefully
your
get
rival,
on here. So,
yeah.
don't want to stoke the fire there with the East Coast West Coast rivalry in Canada.
We couldn't have you both on at the same time.
It
would be. Dude, no, we wouldn't be able to get it. We couldn't focus.
I also want you to know
part of the reason why we have been so chaotic on this episode is because we had an entire sleeve of peeps before we got here.
We pre-partied with our peeps.
We pre-partied with the peeps. So
this is remember when I told you we were real laid back and conversational on this podcast?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did not disappoint.
Talking about peeps and maple syrup. Right.
Well, so definitely go check out your Instagram.
Sure.
Give a shout out to your Instagram and website one more time, if you don't mind, for our listeners.
Folk and Wild.
Folk and Wild. We'll see you out and on the trails here in Phoenix through the summer, training with you.
He's gonna be the one with the little Canadian flag on his hydration pack, like all the Canadian.
Depends on which pack I'm wearing.
I mean, I'm sure you do because I know that you're Canadian and that's what they do.
It's
true. Doing all the discrimination against Canadians.
It's something.
I mean, when I first started, I don't know if you know that. I'm not really being facetious here. When I first started traveling as a teenager, that is what Canadians did to distinguish themselves in Europe from Americans, which can't really blame them. I said that quietly. There was a point
because we're just going like, wow, like, we're like, Eve, stop talking.
No, but you know, if you've ever traveled, Canadians don't like to be lumped in with American travelers. We all know why that is. So
honestly, these days, like, I probably wouldn't mind moving to Canada.
Yeah, just put your Canadian... You too can put a Canadian flag on your hydration vest.
I haven't
lived
in Canada, though.
You can just pretend.
But you know where it is now.
I know the general direction. I've got to wear my snow boots, though, because apparently, like, as soon as I hit the border. I just walk over, I'm like, ooh! Oh,
I'm so sorry, Canadian listeners. We love you.
Or anyone in the U.S. that's just like, what are you doing?
Whatever. Every American can relate to this right now.
Just blame it all on too much sugar.
No, I will say too that...
I was just blame peeps, but... What? Like for fueling the energy we needed, like we would need on a run, peeps still sponsor us, but yes, we had too much sugar.
I will close out with this last Canadian thing. If you are running, this is kind of relevant for our listeners who might go run a race in the other country.
The other country.
Well, depending on which country you're coming from and going to. Okay, so when you get into an aid station and you need a caffeinated carbonated beverage, don't say anything, Jeremy. What do you ask for?
Oh, I see.
Caffeinated carbonated beverage?
Mm-hmm.
Like a Coke?
You ask for a Coke?
I wouldn't personally, but I think that's what people would ask for.
Because when Steve ran a Canadian race and asked for, I think he must have asked for a pop. No, I think he asked for a Coke and they said pop. Or they said, they turned and they all went, "What are you, American?" And we were
like, for a soda?
I don't remember now. Yeah. He probably did ask for a soda. What do Americans say? Because now I've forgotten.
I think it's soda.
I think America.
Depending on where
you're from. Well, it depends on where you're from. My parents are from Chicago, and they called it pop
with an ah. That's what I grew up calling it too. Pop. And then I changed it to soda when I moved to the Southeast, where they call it all Coke.
Okay.
And so it's very regionalized in the U.S. Yeah. But yeah, Steve must have said a soda or a Coke. I'm not sure, but they were all
California kids used to make fun of us for saying pop when we would go visit. It's soda. It's soda.
So what would you actually say though? What's your...
If I was asking for a pop,
pop. You'd say pop.
Yeah.
He's like, but I wouldn't ask for it because it's too much sugar.
So Peeps sponsor us.
Peeps. We're coming for you.
See, that's how all the episodes end.
Yeah.
Listen to Geography and Peeps.
I just wanted to say sorry for the ridiculousness.
Oh, that's our brand.
It's my duty as a Canadian to apologize for something.
Oh my gosh. Well played. I totally missed that. That's
meanwhile, me and Eve will be like, after the episode, be like, I can't believe we just like that spiraled out of control. But you know, that's
sorry,
pretty
New
much
Mexico.
Any episode.
Sorry, yeah, no, it is.
Sorry.
It is.
We love all people. We love all states. We love all countries.
Yeah. We do.
We love all people, whether they love all foods or not.
We don't discriminate.
We don't always talk about Peeps, but just mostly Eve and I.
I think you do.
Americans
we do.
Usually,
it's
just Eve and I. Everyone else is just like, get over it. just me and Eve. So thank you so much for joining the chaos with us, Nathan, and look forward to joining you on the trails here in Arizona soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And thanks everyone for listening to another episode of We Run the Desert Podcast.